consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Of course, we have our hymn that we sing, Great is thy faithfulness, and it's based on that text of Scripture. By the way, we sing many other hymns that are based on different texts of Scripture, amen? A lot of times that we don't realize if we're not in our Bibles and know what the Bible says, sometimes we don't know what we're singing, do we, amen? But this is based on that Scripture, that song that we sing, Great is thy faithfulness, based on this text. I'd like to preach a message through this text this morning to you entitled God's Great Mercy. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your tremendous mercy, your tremendous love, your loving kindness to us, God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace, God. Thank you for how you work in our hearts and our lives. And Father, we pray as always this morning that if there is anyone in our presence who has never experienced your mercy, your grace, your forgiveness, God, we pray this morning for them that you would have your will and your way accomplished in their life, Father. Open their eyes up, Father, they might see. God, thank you now for those your children here this morning. I pray that this will encourage them and strengthen them and help them, Father, to your honor, to your glory. And we give you the praise and thanks in Jesus' precious and loving name. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. I wanted to talk to you this morning about God's great mercy. The first time the word mercy shows up in the Scriptures is over in the book of Genesis in chapter 19. You do not have to turn there. I've got these written out already, but I'm going to read a couple of these to you before I get into the message as a way of introduction. The first time the word mercy shows up as the word merciful. And it's, and while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand. Speaking about Lot, by the way, when Lot was being led out of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, it says, and while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. I don't know why Lot was lingering back at all, but God was merciful unto him and took him by the hand and took his wife by the hand, the one angel, and the other angel took his two daughters by the hand and led them out of the city. And I always wondered this about that text. This don't cost you anything, just a thought, you know. But about that text there, you ever think about that when Abraham was standing on top of the hill and he's looking down into the valley and he's looking towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and he argues with God and says, Lord, if there be, things start off with 50, that have not, that are righteous, would you spare? Yes, I will. Goes all the way down to 10, and then he stops there at 10. I always wonder why Abraham didn't go any farther. And here's my thought, because if you study that text out in the Scripture, you will find out where Lot had sons-in-laws, the Bible said, that were also in the city with his other daughters. It does not say how many sons-in-laws, but I wondered if maybe there was three more daughters and three son-in-laws, and then the two daughters at home, and then Lot and his wife would be 10 people. I wonder if that's why Abraham stopped right there at 10. If there be 10 righteous, Lord, would you spare the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? And God said, yes, I would do that, but there were not 10 righteous, amen. But Lot and his two daughters, the Bible called that, and his wife, and he led them out of the city. And then the second time you would see the word mercy show up is just 3 verses later in the book of Genesis, chapter 19. It said, behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. Lot is speaking to God on his term, and the angel said, you need to go up into the mountains. And he said, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain lest some evil take me and I die. And it would have been better off, I think, if he would have went to the mountain to start with instead of later on, because he argued and went down to the city of Zoar, then ended up in all kinds of trouble there, and goes up into the mountains and ends up in trouble with his two daughters in an incestual relationship. What a terrible thought, is it not, where Lot ended up in his life? I believe because he disobeyed God to start with. Genesis chapter 32, verse 10 says, the next time you see the word mercy in the Scripture, it shows up as the word mercies, plural, mercies. It's Genesis chapter 32, where Jacob is now coming back into the land, Jacob and Esau, and he's going to meet his brother Esau as he comes into the land. He crosses the river, and the Bible says this, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies, of all thy mercy, and all of all the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I have become two bands. He took his one wife and sent her off with his wife off with his children, and took some shepherds and came with himself, and they comes up to meet his brother. And all three times it talks about God's wonderful mercies. I tell you this, I believe God is merciful to you, and God is merciful to me. Amen. And we ought to dwell and think on the mercies of God and what he's done in our lives. That's just the mercy of God that he would save any of us through his grace. I thank God for that. Amen. I hope you thank God for your salvation. If you would look the word mercy up, and my favorite dictionary is a Webster's 1828 dictionary. And it has a lot of Bible verses in it, but it also has a lot of biblical definitions in it, if you ever get a chance to have one. If you do not have one, how many of you have an iPad in here or an iPhone in here? They have a great app. It is free. Go into the search engine for your iPhone and look up Webster's 1828. It's a free app, and you can get on there and type anything in that you want that pertains to the Bible. It's a tremendous help. I have it on both my iPads. I have it on my iPhone. I have it in my iBrain. No, just kidding, man. But, you know, the great app, it'll help you. But here's how the Webster's 1828 describes the word mercy. Just listen to this for a moment. The benevolence, mildness, or tenderness of the heart, which disposes a person to overlook injuries or to treat an offender better than he deserves. The disposition that tempers justice and induces an injured person to forgive trespasses and injuries and to forbear punishment or inflict less than the law or justice will warrant. In this sense, there is perhaps no word in our language precisely synonymous with mercy. That which would come the closest to it would be grace. And according, grace being God not giving or giving us what we don't deserve, and mercy is God withholding from us that which we do deserve. There's not one person in this room that does not deserve eternal damnation. But God, through his grace and his mercy, gives us eternal salvation and keeps us from that punishment of eternal hell if we would put our faith and our trust in him. It says to be or to lie at the mercy of or to have means of self-defense, but to be dependent for the safety on the mercy and compassion of another person, or in a power that which is irresistible, as to be at the mercy of a foe or at the mercy of the waves or at the mercy of the storm if you come through it. Anybody in here ever been struck by lightning? Here we had a friend in our home church that was struck by lightning two times. Amen. I don't know if you've been struck twice, bro. He got struck twice, you know. And you walk with a limp ever since he got struck the first time. Got struck the second time, and it was not the lightning that killed him in the end. It was his heart gave out, you know, but he was an older gentleman by that time. But it was only by the mercy of God getting struck by lightning that you could sit here this morning. Amen. I've been zapped with electricity, 110, 220, 440. I've been zapped by all of them at one time or another. How many of you ever had the bug zappers look like a tennis racket? Anybody here have one of them? You know what I'm talking about? And you push the button on there to, you know, and the bug was, they zap pretty good, you know. Well, somebody, I was in a camp meeting, that's an old tent meeting up in Michigan this summer, and somebody sat one of them right on my chair where I sat, on my big easy chair where I sat, and I got to looking at that, and somebody, ha ha, somebody thinks they're funny, you know, and somebody says, so I pick it up, and I said, I wonder what kind of juice that thing has in it. And a friend of mine sat a couple of chairs down. I think he's the one that put it there. He said, I always said, push the button and try it, you know. And I never claimed to be very smart, amen. I don't know if you've ever tried this, but I pushed that button. Now, here's something for you. I pushed that button. I would not recommend if you have a pacemaker. I got one, you know, and I didn't think about it until I pushed the button. And I went like this, and I zapped. You know that thing hurt my hand and hurt my wrist? I could feel that in my wrist. That was worse than 110-volt juice going in there, man. And then I got to thinking, how stupid can I be? That pacemaker could go, you know. That put me right down on the ground, man, I tell you. But I ain't smart, you know. But the mercy of God, I'm still here. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, God's mercy is so great that it forgives great sins. Now listen, this is what Charles Haddon Spurgeon makes a statement on mercy. God's mercy is so great that it forgives great sins to great sinners after great lengths of time. Boy, God's mercy. Then it gives great favors and great privileges and raises us up to great enjoyments in the great heaven of the great God. John Bunyan put it this way. He says, it must be great mercy or no mercy, for little mercy will never serve my turn. C.H. Spurgeon said that of John Bunyan. John Bunyan was a writer of the Pilgrim's Progress. Anybody in here ever read the book, The Pilgrim's Progress? Tremendous book, amen. Some people find it boring. I've read it twice, and I bought a movie about that also. I love it to watch them, amen. The Pilgrim's Progress and the mercy of God. John Bunyan was a writer then. I think John Bunyan understood something about the mercy of God sitting in a prison cell for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then writes that book while he's in a prison cell. Well, I tell you, what a tremendous man of God. Well, I'm going to look back at verse 18 of this text in Lamentations chapter 3. I think I swallowed a bug. I'm not sure. Something went in and don't want to come out. Let me take a sip of water down and get my protein. Amen. Well, if it don't come out one way, you got to get going the other way. Amen. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 18 says, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Jeremiah went through some tremendous trials. If you go back and you study the book of Jeremiah, I would encourage you to read it from the beginning to the end and see what Jeremiah went through in his life. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet in the scriptures. And Jeremiah comes here to the book of Lamentations and pens out some of his thoughts that he went through in the book of Jeremiah. So he's a writer of the book of Lamentations. I think Jeremiah understood some things, what it meant to despair in his life. And so I wrote down as my first point this morning, if you're taking notes, you might want to pen this down. I wrote down there is mercy when we despair. When we think we can't take another step. When we think that we can't go another mile. When we think that we can't do another thing for the Lord, I want you to understand something. There is mercy with God. And God is full of mercy for you and for me. In Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 2, Jeremiah pens this. He says, then Pashur, who was the son of the high priest and prophet, son of the high priest, then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. Jeremiah, for preaching the gospel, would not stop for prophesying the word of God. And the only mind I get in my idea, had thought about stocks, is where they would put your hands through the holes and put your neck through the holes and lock the bars down. I'm not exactly sure if that's what the stocks looked like in Jeremiah's day, but I have a feeling that was pretty close to it. And he was locked up just for a day, the Bible says, for preaching the word of God, for talking about God himself. It'd be like you and I today talking about Jesus Christ and getting locked up in jail for talking about Jesus Christ. Now, can I tell you this? And I want you to understand me plainly, and I don't believe I'm out of line with this, but I don't think we're very far from that in our own nation. I don't think we're very far from preachers getting locked up for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you realize if you call yourself a Christian, they look at you as someone who is almost to a radical of hate crime because you preach and talk about Jesus Christ? It's sad that that's going on in our nation today. But can I tell you, there's mercy when we despair, when we think we can't say another word, when we think we can't talk to somebody else. I hope I never shut my mouth, amen. I'm sure there's some people that would hope I would shut my mouth sometimes, but I hope I don't ever shut my mouth. The tow truck driver yesterday on the turnpike up in Albany, New York, well, I tell you, we had two of them. My wife rode with one as they were hauling our trailer off the turnpike, and I rode with the one. I had my truck hooked up to him off the turnpike up to an international garage to get my truck worked on this next couple of weeks. And And as I got in the truck, my wife was witnessing to the guy in the truck that she had and gave him one of my tracks. I didn't have one of my tracks on me, but I was witnessing to the guy that was there next to me. And I asked him, I said, do you go to church anywhere? He says, no, I don't go to church. And I said, you ever think about going to church? No, I don't think about going to church. He said, my sister and my brother-in-law have a church down in New Jersey. And I said, what kind of a church? He said, well, I don't know, but they're born again. That's what he said. They're born again Christians, you know. And I said, well, you know what? I said, I think God doesn't do anything by mistake. And he had me break down on this turnpike just so I could give you the gospel of Jesus Christ today and talk to you about the Lord. You know, before I left there, he didn't get saved. But before I left there, he let me, I put my hand on his shoulder and asked if I could pray for him. And he let me pray for him. Amen. Can I tell you this? It's only the mercy of God that will save him. Only the mercy of God that will help him. Only the mercy of God that will turn him around. It's not Mike Patterson. It's not Jenny Patterson that can turn him around. It's only the gospel of God. And I pray that I never stop doing that. And you ought to pray that you never stop doing that. Give the gospel to everybody that you can give it to because they need to hear it. Amen. People need to be saved even yet today. Last week I was in a revival meeting from Sunday through Friday. Pretty stuff. Friday, left the church Friday night and then started over this way Saturday morning over the Torrington, Connecticut and then drive over here today. And last week, Pastor and I went out on Monday. We do street preaching. Amen. We go out to Geneva and street preaching. Sometimes we'll stand on the corner and a bunch of people and cars will be sitting there and we'll just holler out and give them the gospel in a nutshell as quick as we can and quote a verse, maybe John 3:16. Or something. We didn't get a chance to do that this time, but we started seeing a lot of people on the street and we started walking up and handing them tracts and handing them the book of John and Romans, from Bearing Precious Seed and talking to them for a few moments. And we led three young men to the, that day, on the street to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we stopped Sunday afternoon after church to a young man from the church stopped at his home and led his father to the Lord standing in his garage. Amen. And then I come into the church to go out with Pastor another time in the morning. And as I walk into the door, he's got another young man sitting in the church at a table with him. Two young men, one saved, one not. And he led that one unsaved young man to the Lord. Can I tell you, God's mercy is good. And sometimes you might not think you can go any farther. Sometimes you might think that you can't say a word. But when you begin to despair, understand this, that God's mercy is there even when you despair. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9, you got 20 verse 2, he gets let out of the stocks. And then in verse 9, just seven verses later, then said I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire and shut up in me, and I was weary with forbearing. I could not stay. That means he said, I'm not going to say another word. He said, but I couldn't help but say another word. Amen. Anybody, ever been like that? Talk to somebody on the phone. I don't want to say another word, but you can't stop and say another word. Amen. Well, that was sort of like Jeremiah. Now I have to talk about the Lord. Why? Because his mercy endureth forever. In Jeremiah chapter 37, you would see Jeremiah then for preaching just 17 chapters later, for preaching the gospel again or about the persecution of Israel and the captivity getting ready to come up under Nebuchadnezzar. And you see Jeremiah again, now he's put in prison this time. He's in the prison house, and tell me that would not cause you a little bit to despair for preaching the Word of God. For telling the truth, amen. We always tell our kids, tell the truth no matter what, just tell the truth. Well, that's chapter 37. In the very next chapter, you see that him put in the dungeon of the prison, the very next chapter, and they put him in the mire. Actually, put him in a pit. And when they put him in that pit, they wrap ropes or old cloths or something around his shoulders underneath, and they lower him down into the pit. So it was a deep pit. It was not something where they were just going to throw him in. They lowered him down. The Bible says he sunk in the mire in that pit. And it doesn't say how far he sunk, but I have a feeling that was all the refuse of the city runs through the bottom of that pit. All the filth from the city runs through that pit. And as they would lower him into that pit, and he would sink into the mire. And I get the idea that it wasn't just ankle deep in that pit. I get the idea where it wasn't just knee-deep or even maybe waist-deep. I have a feeling that that pit was a deep pit, a deep mire, muck that he sunk down into in that pit. Regardless of how deep it was nasty, amen. Tell me that you would not despair a little bit if that was you. But Jeremiah goes on to say in his text that great is thy faithfulness about God. There's mercy when we despair. Number two, look with me at verse 19 of the same text in Lamentations chapter 3. Verse 19 and verse 20 make this statement. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. Remembering these things, that's what he's talking about. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. I'm still remembering these things, Lord. They're still in my mind, still in the forefront of my mind sometimes, not just in the back of my mind, but sometimes they come forward. And I want you to understand, there's not just mercy, mercy when we despair. There's mercy when we can't forget. How many of you remember many things in your life, amen? Things that you regret, amen? Things that you've confessed to God, amen? I mean, you've confessed to God. You made those things right with God, but yet they still crop up sometimes in your mind, and it's not God that brings them up. You know why? Because the Bible says that God takes your sin, when you confess it to Him, and He puts it as far as what? The east is from the west. He also says this, He puts it in the bottom of the deepest sea. He also says this, that He will remember it no more. He also says this, that He will put it behind Him. God has done His work. He's not the one that stirs up those old memories and those old things that we cannot forget. And sometimes when those old things come back in your mind, in my mind, it sort of hinders us from doing what we ought to do. If anybody ever knew this, if anybody ever found out, or if I ever run into so-and-so, they're not going to believe that I'm a Christian just because of what I did and how I treated them and what I said and the way I acted. My friend, I want you to understand something. There's mercy from God when we can't forget. When you can't forget and when I can't forget, God has forgotten. Amen. And He reminds me of that all the time. Mike, I forget this. I grew up in Northeast Ohio and boy, I hurt and offended a lot of people before I was saved by the grace of God. I thank God for my salvation, for reaching down in that prison cell and saving my soul and putting my feet on the solid rock. Amen. God's just so good to me and my family and my wife. I was the first one saved in my immediate family. And I saw a brother get saved and his wife get saved. I've seen nephews and nieces get saved. I've seen two stepbrothers saved. I've seen two stepsisters get saved and some step nieces get saved and some of their kids get saved, amen, over the years. God's good, amen. Isn't God good? But I think sometimes I would go back, I preach in a number of different churches in our area there of Ohio where I grew up. I go back, we're from Michigan now, but I go back to the area and I preach a number of different churches. And this thought always comes to mind, what am I going to do if this person shows up? That always comes back to my mind a lot of times, amen. And one time I was preaching in a little church, and there was only three or four people left in the church at that time. And we sometimes get 30 people in that little building when I'm there because everybody knows me, and they would come out to the meetings, and other churches would come over to the meeting. And I step out of my trailer one night. My wife's already in the church building, and there's a number of cars in the parking lot that I didn't recognize that night. And a young lady steps out of the car and she comes walking over to me and she says, Mike, it's good to see you. And she throws her arms around me and I get real stiff, you know, and she kisses me on the cheek and she starts laughing and says, you don't know who I am, do you? I said, no, I don't. She says, I'm your niece. And it was Art and Phyllis's oldest daughter there. I forgot who in the world it was. Sometimes you don't want to remember some things, amen. And I was scared half to death. I want to tell you, my friend, there's mercy when we can't forget. There's mercy when you can't forget. Just remember that God's on, I say this, just remember that God is on your side. Psalm chapter 61 verse 2 says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed, I don't think I can do it again, Lord. I don't think I can take another step. I don't think I can preach another sermon. I don't think I can hand out out into the trench. I don't think I can witness one more time. Yeah, mercy's there, amen. You know, when you can't forget, it's there. Psalm 143 verse 4 says, therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me, my heart within me is desolate. Micah chapter 7 verse 1 says, woe is me, I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleaners of the vintage, there is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. He said, there's nothing left. He's in despairing. He's despairing and he's cast down and he can't forget. I tell you what, I'm glad God forgets, amen. I'm glad God keeps the record and I don't have to worry about it. I'm glad he has forgiven me for my sin. Just remember, there's mercy. When you can't forget, there's mercy. God has forgiven you, amen. God has forgiven you. So we ought to just be so grateful. That, you know what that ought to do? If I say God has forgiven you, you ought to want to shout, glory! Amen. Now, I know this is a Baptist church. Well, I understand it. I know this is a Yankee Baptist church, amen. I grew up in Yankee Baptist church, but I still say sometimes, glory to God, amen. Because it excites me what God has done in my life. Well, then there's also mercy that we can remember. We can remember. Look what he says to me in verse 21 of this text. He says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. He recalls it to his mind. That means he remembers the mercy of God. You say, where does he remember the mercy of God? Well, if you look at the very next verse, he makes this statement, because if it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. That means you're not by his mercy, you're not totally destroyed. By God's mercy, you can continue on in your Christian life. By God's mercy, if you do something wrong in your Christian life, you can claim 1 John 1:9, which is written to born again believers. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. His mercies are for you for forgiveness. Even as a believer, there's not a believer in this room that hasn't done something wrong in their Christian life. And God's mercy is there to forgive you and to help you and to strengthen you if you just confess it to him and make it right as a child of God. Amen. God's good. All the time, to you and to me. So he says in the beginning of that verse, if it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, then he says, why? Because his compassions fail not. Because of his mercy, his compassions fail not. His tender care as a mother. The thought is there, tender care as a mother would care for her baby. I tell you what, you try to take a newborn baby from a mother's arms and watch what's going to happen to you if you ain't the father. And then you still might be in trouble sometimes, amen. If that mama wants that baby, you ain't getting it, amen. That's the thought there. His mercy is a tender compassion for you and for me. It's like that mother who takes care of that little baby, that little child. That's how God looks at you. That's what he thinks of you. He also says in verse 21, they are new every morning. There's mercy when we can't remember, that we can remember. They're new every morning. They are new every day. Every day his mercies are new to me and new to you as a child of God. And then he says this in the end of verse 23, they are new every morning and great is thy faithfulness. We can remember his mercy because his faithfulness is great. Great is thy faithfulness. That's the Lord's faithfulness to you and the Lord's faithful to me. Listen, his mercy is extended to me. Not because of my faithfulness, but thy faithfulness, O Lord. His mercy is extended to me because of him and not because of me and not because of you, but because of who God is. His mercies are extended to all of us because of who he is. Great is thy faithfulness. Now listen to this. His mercies extend to me if I'm faithful or not. You hear that? His mercy to me is not based on how faithful I am to him. His mercy to me is based on because he is faithful to me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. No matter what goes on in my life, God will never walk away from me. I've turned my back on him. I've walked away from his will of my life and And I'm telling you what I have done in all these years, 43 years of salvation, times when I wasn't where I should have been with God as a child of God. But His mercy has never left me. And I'll never leave you, because great is thy faithfulness. And then, lastly, I want you to go to Ephesians in chapter 2, and I'm going to give you the last point. I used to say that it'll be quick, but I ain't promising anything anymore, amen. Ephesians chapter 2 in your Bible. Ephesians chapter 2, and look with me. We're just going to look at, begin in verse 1. We're going to read down to verse 4. And you hath he quickened, that means he made you alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. He took that which was dead and made alive. If you put your faith and trust in him. Wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's the devil. Before you were saved, that's who you followed. You might not have been a wicked, wicked, wicked individual, but your leader was the devil. You might not have even known that, because you can't serve God and mammon at the same time. The devil and God are not in you at the same time. It's either God or the devil. So he says in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation, that's our lifestyle in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That means eternal damnation, the children of wrath. Verse 4 says this, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. There's number 4 point is, there is mercy because he is rich in mercy. That word, I'm not a Greek scholar or a Hebrew scholar, amen. I don't know the Aramaic, and I don't hardly know English. So just let me tell you though what this word rich here, rich in mercy, what this word means. And I bet you can figure it out, amen. Here's what it means. Rich means wealthy. It means more than enough. Listen to this. Mercy. There's more than enough mercy. There's more than enough mercy for the world. There's more than enough mercy for the drunk. There's more than enough mercy for the drug addict. There's more than enough mercy for the wife abuser. There's more than enough mercy for the husband abuser. I've seen a few of them over the years. There's more than enough mercy. Now, we get in it. I struggle with some of these. By the way, there's more than enough mercy for the pedophile. If they will call upon Jesus Christ, confess their sin and repent, and believe him, he can save even a pedophile. There's more than enough mercy for a murderer. There was a fellow out here in Maine that was an evangelist and came down. I'm not sure where he went to, but he went to a prison with another pastor, because the pastor got a letter in the mail from a man in the prison requesting, would you please come and see me? I need to see you. And this evangelist went with him, and they walked into the waiting room, and the guards brought in a man. The guards brought in the wrong man. They brought in this big man, and mean-looking man. And he sat down at the table, and by the time the pastor and this evangelist were done, this man sat there with tears in his eyes and said, God can't forgive me. God cannot forgive me. He had killed his family. And before they were done, he bowed his head, weeping like a baby, and asked Jesus Christ to forgive him and to save him by his grace. And the guards realized then what they had done. And they came and took that man out. And then they brought the man in that this preacher and this evangelist was supposed to visit to start with. And they told him the story about this other man that came in by mistake, and he starts rejoicing. This guy was a Christian. He said, "Praise the Lord, he's the guy I wanted you to visit while you were here after you saw me." And he got in there by accident. I tell you, God don't make no mistakes. Amen. His mercy is rich. More than enough. More than enough for the child that thinks they're all right. More than enough for the church splitter. More than enough for the backbiter, the troublemaker. More than enough. There's more than enough mercy for every person who has ever been born in this world. More than enough mercy for every person who is in the deepest part of Africa where there's still not some churches. More than enough mercy who are in the hills of Papua New Guinea where I have been where there's still no church. There's more than enough mercy to extend to every person around the world. More than enough mercy in the country of Australia where they deny and hate the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached. There's more than enough mercy for New Zealand. There's more than enough mercy for Germany. There's more than enough mercy for Australia. There's more than enough mercy for Russia. There's more than enough mercy for China. There's more than enough mercy for Japan. Hey, there's more than enough mercy for every woman, man, and child that have been born in this world. There's more than enough mercy because God is rich in His mercy. There's more than enough mercy to even help things in the home life. Amen. Because God is a merciful God. And then this morning, as I finish up, there is more than enough mercy for you if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. God's desire, He says in Scripture, He says that He is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. In the book of, I believe, 2 Peter, Chapter 2, verse 9, I think. Some of that skips my mind anymore, amen. I like to blame it on age, but I ain't that old. But there's more than enough mercy if you don't know Christ as your Savior. He's waiting for you to have you believe Him by faith through grace and receive His mercy for your life. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed just for a few moments, heads bowed and eyes closed. Let me ask you with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, and it's just about not quite 12 o'clock. We've got just a couple of moments yet. Well, let me ask you this question with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has there been a time in your life, I mean, you could say without a shadow of a doubt, I know I'm saved. I know for sure if my life ends now, I know I'll go to heaven. I know that because of the Word of God, what He says. Now, let me ask you a question. I'm gonna ask you to do this. If you say, "Mike, I know I'm saved. I know I am." Well, you just slip your hand up in the air. How about it right now? You ought not be afraid to admit that you're saved. Amen. Anybody, if you're saved, put up in the air for me. Let me look around for a little bit, if you could, please. Just let me look around. Hold up in the air. Let me look. Amen. Thank you, brother. Put that down. You can put them down. And some of you did not raise your hand. And sometimes people don't raise their hand. I've had people say this, you know, it's none of your business. And I don't understand that. If I'm saved, I'm not afraid to say I'm saved. Amen. If you could not raise your hand, you could not raise your hand because you know you're not saved. Could I pray for you? Now I want you to hear me. My prayer can't save you. And it won't save you. But I would count it a tremendous privilege to pray for you that you'd believe the truth of the Word of God. Is there anybody like that right now? You could not raise your hand a minute ago, but you just slip it up in here right now. No one's looking, only me. No one's looking. You just slip it up right now and say, "That's me. I'm not sure I have eternal life." Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Because I would count it a privilege to pray for you. Anybody at all? No, I don't see any hands. Second question this morning is, "Mike, would you just pray for me?" Just pray for me because there's some things I'm going through. Thank you. I needed to hear by God's mercy. And there's some things in that message that spoke to my heart this morning Would you just pray for me today? How about right now? Just slip up your hand. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Hands all over. Praise the Lord. You can put them down. Amen. Anybody else this morning with your hand raised, just pray for me like that. The Lord spoke in my heart today. Anybody else before I go to the Lord in prayer? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the privilege, God, that we had to come around it this morning for a few moments. And God, that you would have all the honor and the glory because of it, God. Father, thank you for the truth of it, Lord. And thank you for speaking to hearts, Lord. Lord, I pray if there's some that aren't saved, please touch those hearts today, Father. Remind them that they need to know you in a personal way to have forgiveness for their sins. We'll give you the praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Could we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed? Sister, could you come to the piano? Could you play Just As I Am? Do you know that hymn, Just As I Am, for me? And Just As I Am. And as she's coming, heads bowed, eyes closed, stand to our feet. As she's playing at the piano, or even before she starts, she plays Just As I Am. The Lord spoke your heart. You raise your hand, and you said, Mike, pray for me. Why don't you slip out, and why don't you come and take that to the Lord? Ask God to help you where you need your help. And come on, you come. Listen. Come on, God bless you. Amen. You slip out, and you come. God bless you. Amen. How about you raise your hand? You should never be ashamed to step out and come forward in the house of God. You slip out and you come. Let God do in your heart what He wants to do. Take it to Him. Take it to Him. Ask Him to help you. Ask Him to strengthen you, because He wants to do what He can do in your life for your help, for His glory, for His honor. You slip out and come. Others of you, raise your hand. Why don't you slip out? Why don't you come and give that to the Lord this morning? Come and give it to Him. God bless you, girls. God bless you, sister. Amen. Thank you. Others, how about the Lord spoke your heart? Why don't you slip out and come? And if you're not sure you're saved, you're not sure you're born again, why don't you slip out and come right now and just look up here at me, and I'd be glad to take the Word of God, or my wife will take the Word of God. If it's a lady, I'll do it with a man, and we'll show you from the Word of God how you can be sure that you have eternal life. How about this morning? If you need to do that, why don't you come and just look up here at me? Just come and look up, and we'll take the Bible and show you how you can be born again. Just wait a few more moments. At the end of this stanza, I'll close in prayer, and we'll be done. Father, thank you, Lord, for these who responded and came to the altar this morning, God, seeking from you that which you will use to help them in their Christian walk, in their Christian life, Father. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Father, for helping us. Thank you, Father, for saving us. And thank you for this church, Lord. Thank you for the continued support in our ministry all these years, Father. God, I pray that it's been a help today. And we'll give you the praise and thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, 6 o'clock tonight, don't forget, amen. Be back in your seat in the house of God. It'll be good for you, I hope, amen. You come back. You're dismissed. All right. I guess I can do that.